Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Family, let's continue with our teaching titled, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. Most Christians know that praying should be a part of our life, but there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively. As a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered, or say that the Holy Scriptures do not work. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause the person to backslide into sin. This is one reason that our God says that His people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listener, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. We have the knowledge available to us in the Holy Bible. However, if we do not diligently study God's word and then apply the truth to our life, we allow Satan to destroy us because we are operating in ignorance of God's promises. It is for this reason that this teaching is designed to explain in detail how to pray effectively. We will be examining why it is important to pray daily and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge we are facing. I will be identifying 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly, whereupon guaranteeing that your prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and your need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in His Holy Word to come boldly to His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach His throne according to His word. This study will consist of 10 parts. An introduction, part 1, the prayer of agreement, part 2, petition prayer. These parts we have completed thus far. Part 3, intercessory prayer, which we will complete today. Part 4, anointing with oil. Part 5, laying on of hands. Part 6, gifts of healings. Part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. Part 8, special anointings. And part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. We will find out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow if we want our prayers answered. God's biblical rules for praying give us precise instructions on what to say and which type of prayer we should use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules in faith, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and encourage you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information regarding this important teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now, before I ran out of time last week, I was sharing with you a few of my favorite intercessions recorded in the Holy Bible. We had just finished reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, my last example of a godly man interceding for others. Let's go back to Colossians and reread Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Apostle Paul is praying for the church. Again, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into His purposes and in understanding of spiritual things, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity, to fully please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing in the knowledge of God, with deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love for His precepts." Verse 11, "We pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power, according to His glorious might, to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, God's people, in the light." Amen. What a marvelous prayer that was offered up by Apostle Paul for the body of Christ. And family, I'm here to tell you that we can use this same prayer for us today, not just in our immediate churches, but for the church worldwide. Praying for the believers to continue to do what God has called us to do, and that is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 9. I want to highlight some key phrases, starting with verse 9, the last part of that sentence that says, "We have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into His purposes, and in understanding of all of spiritual things." This is our desire, family, that we continue to grow from faith to faith, that each believer will continue to grow in the knowledge of God's word and operate according to His wisdom, so we can be those effective people of God, a light to this dying world, that we would attract those that need Jesus to come into the body of Christ and live victorious, spirit, soul, and body. Then I want to drop down to verse 11. I want to reread that whole verse because it is so beautiful, and it just is inspiring to hear people of God praying for the church. It says, "We pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power according to His glorious might, to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy." Amen and amen. Family, earlier in this teaching, I shared with all you listeners several scriptures that identified the various reasons why we should pray and who we should pray for. I want to take this time to remind you that in Matthew 26:41, we are commanded to watch and pray. In other words, when we hear or see evil situations arise in our families, communities, or in other parts of the world, we need to pray the solution over the situation. We need to come against terrorist attacks, natural disasters, epidemics, and alike by praying God's promises over the circumstance. This is how we watch and pray. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read that we should pray for all men. This includes our government leaders, the church, its believers, and for the laborers to come into the harvest to share with accuracy the good news of Jesus Christ. This is how we can effectively bring peace into the world. Now, before I close out part 3, I want to mention that the highest form of intercession is praying in our heavenly language, also known as speaking in tongues. And this is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I will give you more information on this type of prayer later on in this teaching. However, for now, I would like you to know that if you are a Christian, you should desire and choose to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit,
with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. When you do, you too will pray with power, even in situations where you are not fully aware of the need or for the person. Before I move on to part four of this teaching, I would like to share with you two intercessory prayers that my husband and I have been declaring for many years. Here's example number one. John and I have been standing in the gap for all of our family members. We have declared in faith that each of our family members will receive salvation in Jesus before they leave this earth realm, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues and live in God's prosperity all the days of their life. Amen and amen. Family, you choose to stand in the gap for your family and you find a similar prayer to declare over your loved ones so that no one will go to hell. Let's go to example number two. We also pray for our church members in like manner, and that God will send us his people from the north, south, east, and west, so we may teach them the uncompromised word of God. This is our desire in our heart for the body of Christ, and I hope that you will find a similar desire and pray and intercede for your church home and the church in general. This concludes intercessory prayer. Let's move on to part four of this teaching. Part four, anointing with oil. Anointing with oil means to pour oil upon, to smear or rub with oil, to consecrate in a sacred rite. This practice is first found in the Old Testament and was performed upon the priests, prophets, kings, and tabernacle. Its purpose was to set apart the person or thing as holy unto God. Under the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is called the Anointed One. Listener, please listen carefully to the meaning of the Son of God's name, our Savior and our Lord. Jesus, or in the Hebrew, Yeshua, means Savior. Christ means the Anointed One, or set apart unto God. Messiah means the promised Deliverer. Now, when you put this whole name together, I know that you can find peace and comfort that will give you the fortitude to march forward in God's word. Our Savior, Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, he is the Messiah, the promised Deliverer. Amen. As born-again Christians, Jesus has set us apart unto the living God with all the rights and privileges of our Savior. Today, any Christian can use oil to anoint the person for healing and other prayer needs. This touch of oil is a point of contact that helps the person being anointed to release their faith. There is no special healing power in the actual oil. The healing power, listen carefully, the healing power is in the name of Jesus, the Anointed One. The stripes he took on his back, the sinless life he lived, the blood that he shed, and his resurrection for you and me has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Satan no longer has any legal authority over us. That is something to shout about. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's read some examples of how using this type of prayer works under the New Testament. Please go to James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. James 5, starting with verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders, spiritual leaders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Last verse, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when you put into action and make effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. All right, thank you, Lord. Let's go back to verse 14. Again, I want to highlight some very important phrases just as a reminder of where we are as far as authority in this earth realm to make change. In other words, to pray and expect to receive our answer in the name of Jesus. Verse 14, the last part of that verse says, they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So first and foremost, the sick have to call for the elders. That's an action of faith, asking them to come and to pray. And then the elders come with their anointing oil to add a tool for the one receiving prayer to release their faith. Verse 15, first part says, and the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick. So whether you use oil or not, you still have to pray in faith. And that's what restores the sick to well-being. Amen. Verse 16, first part says, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. Earlier in this lesson, we talked about unforgiveness and how it can cause our prayers to be void, will keep us from receiving our healing. So keep this in mind, family. If you are going through a sickness or disease, do a self-examination. Have you unforgiveness in your heart? If you do, then ask for forgiveness. Ask the Heavenly Father to cleanse you and then move forward in the Word of God. Let's also go to Mark chapter 6. We're going to read verses 12 and 13. Jesus is sending out the 12 disciples. Mark 6 verses 12 and 13 say, so they went out and preached that men should repent. That is, think differently. Recognize sin, turn away from it, and live changed lives. Verse 13. And they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many who were sick and healing them. Praise the name of the Lord. Again, let's go up to verse 12. It says that, so they went out and preached that men should repent. One of the first things that we need to do before we even lay hands on the sick is find out where they are spiritually. Have they received Jesus the Christ as their Savior and Lord? Because remember, the promises of God, including divine healing, is based on your covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus the Christ. So if the individual has not yet received Christ, give them an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord before praying for their healing. Because if you do not and you pray, Satan will come right on back to that sinner and steal their prayer of healing. Verse 13, the last part of that verse says, anointing with oil many who were sick and healing them. That's what the disciples did. They went forth doing what Jesus had showed them how to do, and the people were healed. Family, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. Several weeks ago, we read from the book of James, chapter 1, that doubting will kill your faith. And I want to remind everyone right now that you must believe that you receive your petition when you pray. Your will is involved, so don't doubt. This concludes anointing with oil. Let's move on to part 5 of this teaching. Part 5, laying on of hands. Laying on of hands originates in the Old Testament. Under the Old Testament, laying on of hands was used for various reasons, including blessing and transferring guilt. I would like to share with you 4 Old Testament examples recorded in the Holy Bible. Let's start with blessing a person. Please turn to Genesis chapter 48, verses 14 through 16. Genesis 48, starting with verse 14. It says, "But Israel, Jacob, reached out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands intentionally. Even though Manasseh was the firstborn," verse 15, "then Jacob, Israel, blessed Joseph and said, 'The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked in faithful obedience, the God who has been my shepherd, leading and caring for me all my life to this day, the angel that is the Lord himself, who has redeemed me continually from all evil, bless the boys and may my name live on in them. May they be worthy of having their names linked with mine and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a great multitude in the midst of the earth." Family, this is such a wonderful prayer where the older generation blesses the younger generation who will be the leaders of the future. And family, if you're not already doing this, you should be doing this. I know many churches use baby dedication as a part of their church service to pray for the child and the family, that they would raise up their children in a godly manner. But even in your private homes, you can use this prayer to bless your children from day one. I know my husband and I, when we receive news of a newborn in our family, that is one of the first things that we ask the parents, if we may pray over them and bless not just them, the child, but the parents, that God would give them wisdom and understanding to raise godly men and women who will live out their lives, develop their gifts and talents, and be what God has called them to be. And you can do the same. So again, in verse 14, it says, "Israel, also known as Jacob, reached out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim." He was about to speak out and declare the blessing over him. Then in the end of verse 15, he spoke those words that we can use for ourselves in our prayer over our children. It says, "Bless the boys, and may my name live on in them. May they be worthy of having their names linked with mine and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a great multitude in the midst of the earth." We want our children to prosper, and we should speak those words of life over our children every day. Let's continue with example number two, transferring one's guilt under the law of atonement. Please turn to Leviticus chapter 16, verses 20 through 22. Leviticus 16, 20, 22. It says, "When he has finished anointing for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat, the scapegoat, the sin bearer, and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is prepared for the task." Verse 22, "The goat shall carry on itself all their," the Israelites, "wickedness, carrying them to a solitary, infertile land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness." Now, we know that this is an Old Testament ritual that we no longer use because we know that we are saved by the perfect Lamb, which is Jesus the Christ. But I'm giving you examples of how, under the Old Testament, they used laying on of hands. So I want to go back to just reread verse 21, which really highlights the priests and how he laid hands in terms of this ritual. It says, then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat, the scapegoat, the sin bearer, and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is prepared for the task. All right, let's go on to example number 3, setting aside for service the Levitical priests. Please turn to Numbers chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, and present the Levites before the Lord, and the Israelites shall lay their hands on the Levites. Verse 11, Aaron shall present the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the Israelites so that they may perform the service of the Lord. Family, I'm so sorry, but my time is up. Please return next Wednesday as we continue our teaching on the prayers that reach the throne of God.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net. and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.